All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Revelation 13D, 666, and God's challenge to you. I'm going to start this study out by reading that verse where God gives us this challenge. Revelation 13, verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. You know, while researching this topic, I came across a blog where people are trying to figure this out. And then somebody got on and commented to the other people, saying that, you know, they shouldn't really worry about trying to figure out what this number is, but they should rather focus on the love of Jesus and his goodness and all those other things. But this is kind of alarming, because this is a trend that happens a lot in our churches. They say, well, we don't want to talk about Satan. We don't want to talk about the devil. Let's just talk about Jesus. And of course, the number one thing that we're supposed to be talking about is Almighty God and his Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for our sins. That's a given. But this was a direct command by Jesus Christ himself, telling his servants to count the number of the beast. It alarms me when God gives us a direct challenge and somebody says, well, don't worry about that stuff. Just worry about the love that Jesus taught. Let's take a look at this again. Revelation 13, verse 18. I got highlighted here two words, wisdom and understanding. You know, God doesn't expect us to be ignorant. He expects his servants to be intelligent. And of course, like what that person said in that comment, we're supposed to, you know, stress the love of Jesus and the love of God. I mean, the commandments, the two great commandments, are to love your neighbor as yourself and to love God. Well, number one is to love God with all of your heart and all of your soul. And number two was to love your neighbor as yourself. But you know what? Part of loving your neighbor as yourself is to try to figure these things out so you can help your neighbor. Too often, Christians think that we don't need to study the Bible. We just need to talk about love. We just need to do good deeds, good works. And, you know, enough of this intellectual stuff. We don't really need that. But you know what? Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 4, and we say it at the end of every one of our videos, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. We're supposed to consume the word. We're supposed to study it, put it into our intellect, and fuse it with love. But the reason why I went back to this verse is because this is a challenge from God. He says, hey, whoever has wisdom, whoever has skill in learning and understanding, I have a challenge for you. I want you to count the number of the beast. And then he gives us a clue. He says it's a number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. So he definitely wants us to try to figure this out. Again, we don't just shove it aside and say, let's just talk about love, because you know what? There is one coming that's going to preach love. and kindness and unity. And that one's going to be the false Messiah. And we have to be careful because the depth of wisdom and knowledge that most Christians are getting today at church is just love everybody. That really sums up the sermon at the end of the day. Well, they don't teach you how to make sure that you don't worship the false Christ or any of the other deeper things of God, His law, His counsel, His prophecies, His discernment. What kind of a servant are you if you don't have any skill and understanding in your trade? Think about that. That's what this counting of the number of the beast is really important. Is really important. And we're going to read some scriptures at the end of this study that tell us how important it is. So important that those that don't understand it could be in grave danger of receiving the wrath of God. Am I trying to scare you into studying it? Well, kind of, in a way, I guess. Because the Word does. Anyways, it's important to learn how to count the number of the beast because God says it is. We don't need some lovey-dovey Christian to tell us that it's not. And I use that one comment as an example because there are the vast majority of Christians today think like that person does. Don't talk about Satan. Don't talk about counting the number of the beast. Don't even talk about the beast. Don't talk about the dragon. It's scary stuff. Just you're going to scare children. I tell you what, children love to understand these things. They want to know what's going on with the battle between good and evil. And they are curious. And if we try to remain ignorant and just teach love, it's really easy for us to get deceived. I mean, you look at some of the stuff that Disney is pushing today. Teaching rebellion against parents. I mean, you see it. It's in there and it's really crafty. And I don't even want to go into it in this lecture, but I've mentioned it before. My generation grew up on it. The Wizard of Oz. Such an exciting movie, you know, follow the Yellow Brick Road all the way till you reach the wizard. And he's supposed to solve all of your problems, give you a heart of courage and all these types of things. And we know from the Bible that there is no such thing as a good wizard. There are no such things as good witches. You know, because the Wizard of Oz has the good witch and the bad witch. There's no such thing as a good witch. That's just one example on how when we're not using wisdom and understanding and able to see the enemy in action, we are very vulnerable to his deception one little bit at a time until he's got us. That's how it works. Sort of like the locusts in Joel chapter 2, stage after stage. Starts out gnawing, then swarming, then consuming, and then devouring. And the people don't even realize that they've been deceived. Because they said, well, we don't need to worry about that stuff. It's too deep for me. I don't want to talk about evil stuff. People won't come to church if we talk about that. We just want to talk about prosperity and love and unity. Well, you know what? Christ said in a few places in the Gospels that he did not come to bring peace the first time he came. He said he came to bring division. Why? Why would he say such a thing? Because the truth divides in an evil world. We don't unite with evil. We divide from it. We separate ourselves from it. Anyways, it's not understanding all these different aspects of the mark of the beast, the image of the beast, the number of his name, and all those types of things. Not trying to understand these things would leave us very vulnerable to actually falling into the trap of worshiping the false Messiah. Because the false Messiah is going to come, again, he's going to come preaching peace and unity and love. And the world's going to go crazy. That's what they're expecting in a Messiah. And he's going to give it to them. They've been hearing it every Sunday sitting in at church. That the Savior brings these things. But the beast is the one that's going to do it first. The Antichrist, the false Messiah. And most of the world, including probably most Christians, will be deceived along with the rest of the world. Anyways, let's go back and talk about these things again. Revelation 13, verse 18. Let's talk about wisdom and understanding. Now, some people, like I mentioned before, they don't value wisdom and understanding. They think that this is just intellectual knowledge and we don't need that. And that all we need to do is love and have charity and things like that. But you know what? Christianity, though it's not an intellectual religion, I mean, based off of just becoming smart, God does expect us to exercise our mind. He expects his servants to have wisdom. He expects us to try to tackle some of the hard to understand concepts in his word. That's why Jesus says, many of you have heard this before, ask, seek, and knock. And you shall, he says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. That's what we're trying to do here with this number 666. We want to figure this out. We want to ask, seek, and knock, because that's what we're instructed to do. And it is a difficult concept to understand. And there are many different levels of understanding to it. I think it's exciting. It's one of those things where if God is challenging me to something, I want to figure out what it is. I mean, he gave us a challenge. He said, hey, if you have understanding and wisdom, I want to see if you can figure this out. That's pretty cool. So Christianity is not a dumb man's religion. Is it a shame to be dumb? To be illiterate when it comes to the Bible? Well, if you're hearing the truth and you stay that way and you use excuses because you don't want to work, you don't want to get the brain moving, you don't want to set aside a certain amount of time each day to study, yeah, then it is a shame. But if you're just picking up and you're getting excited, hey, let's get to it. All right. I'm going to go to some verses documenting that God does value wisdom and knowledge. And he appreciates those who try to understand his plan and his word. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy. Controversy, he means he's upset with the inhabitants of the land. Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Now think about that. A lot of people ignore this. God is upset. He has a controversy with the people because there's no knowledge of him there. People aren't studying their Bibles. They're going to church for social hour or to look good in the community or because they just think it's the right thing to do. I just got to check off the box today. I sat there. I was there. I sang a couple hymns. I said, praise the Lord. I went through a ritual. If you belong to that type of church where you go through the ritual and the priest is up there shaking the smelly stuff through the church and you're smelling it, you're going, ah, holy, holy, holy. That's not what this is about. If that's your depth of being a Christian, then God has a controversy with you. He's upset because you're not trying to learn about him. You're not trying to find out what his standards of righteousness are, the deeper aspects of his counsel and his will and his plan. That means you're not very interested in him. You realize that? When we don't ask, seek, or knock, it shows God that we're not really that much interested in him. We're not driven to try to come close to him. But if you're studying for the purpose of love and to be closer to your Father, you want to know everything you can about him. Because it's exciting. You're in a relationship with him. He talks to you through his word and his spirit. And you talk to him in prayer, and it's back and forth all the time, and you grow in your intellect and your ability to understand him. You know, Christ oftentimes he'd say, he that hath an ear, let him hear. After certain things he taught. I mean, he wanted his servants to understand him. And then he said to Nicodemus once, he said, hey, I'm trying to tell you some earthly things, some base concepts of the Bible. And you're not even understanding these. How in the world am I going to tell you of heavenly things, of things that are a little bit harder to understand? And he says, hey, you're a master of Israel. You're a teacher. And you don't understand these things? That's got to be must have been kind of embarrassing for him to have the Lord dress him down like that. So yes, when we're talking about this 666 and God giving us this challenge, hey, it's a challenge we need to take. We need to understand. And I guarantee you, there's not one of you out there listening that already understands this completely. I don't understand it completely myself. I understand a lot about it. I've done a lot of research on it. We're going to share that, share as much as we can with you. Some people say, well, 666, all it means is Satan comes at the sixth seal. And now I have a lot of respect for some teachers that have taught that. Now, please don't take this as a rip on them, because some of you might know where this comes from. And God bless them for their ministries. Their ministries have been great ministries that have helped lots of people. But they say that the sixth seal, the sixth trump and the sixth vial. That's all we need to know about the number of the beast. He comes at those three. And we've gone through studies before where that it doesn't make sense for one. One reason is that the seals, trumpets, and vials are in chronological order of each other. They don't happen simultaneously. In other words, you can't even get to the first vial until you've hit the seventh trumpet. And if that sounds new to you, go back and do our studies in Revelation, and you'll see where we document that. But anyways, where am I going with this here? We're getting a little off track. But I want to go back to something here because there is a point to be made. This word mercy, I got to have highlighted in green here. It's a little different here. We're supposed to not just have knowledge of God. That's important. But if we don't combine it with mercy, which means love and compassion, then it's not worth very much. We'll talk more about that in a second. Verse 2, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Why? Because, well, for one, they're ignorant. They don't know God's standard of righteousness. They don't know his laws. So they do these things. Verse 3, therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish. And the beasts of the field, with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Verse 4, yet let no man strive nor reprove one another. For thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. All this because of this lack of knowledge. Verse 6, my people, now check this out. My people are destroyed. Destroyed for lack of knowledge. We're going to find out in the book of Revelation that lack of knowledge concerning all those different aspects, the mark of the beast, the image of the beast, the name of the beast, and the number of the beast could lead us to being destroyed for having lack of that knowledge. It's important. It lets us know the roots of the Antichrist, where he comes from, how he comes onto the world scene, and what things he's going to be doing and what things he's going to be saying. But anyways, God says, I will also reject thee. Thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. It's the priest's job to know these things, just as it is, you know, in the New Testament. Who are the priests? Christians are. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to be a priest of God, part of that royal priesthood. Now, I'm not saying that every Christian has to be a Bible teacher. What I'm saying is you should be learning these things. Because you go back to the Old Testament priesthood, not every priest was a teaching priest. Not everyone was called to do that. But they did other duties. I mean, there were priests that carried the tabernacle, helped set everything up, and many other things. Anyways, so that was important. Let us go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. We're still talking about knowledge and wisdom, because those are the two things that God said were requirements of understanding how to count the number of the beast. 4, verse 1. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. Okay? Verse 2, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. This sort of reminds me of Christ, the only begotten Son of God. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Okay, and that's one thing that a lot of churches today, they don't teach the commandments. And I brought this up before. Did you know that in the Ten Commandments, and I'm not going to elaborate on it here, slavery is actually mentioned there as being something that is approved of? And I have to say that because you have a lot of conservatives even today. That's why I get Bible teachers like myself are in the minority, because people have made a religion out of politics and political ideologies rather than listening to the Word of God. Slavery is actually approved of in the Bible when it is regulated according to God's law. The Israelites were in slavery in Egypt for so many years, and God had a plan for that. I'm not going to go into why and when and all that. What I'm trying to say is that our people don't even understand anything about, hardly anything about God's commandments in many cases. And they say statements like that, like slavery is evil no matter what. Even though it's in the commandment where thou shalt not covet. You ever read that? That might be all the only part of that commandment you've ever heard of before. But it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thy neighbor's this, thy neighbor's that, and thy neighbor's manservant and maidservant. Those were slaves. But yet we have people condemning slavery as evil and blaming the white man for doing the most evil thing ever. Were there evil slave masters? Yes, there were, obviously. God's law forbids abuse such as that. But is slavery in itself evil? How can it be if God has laws regulating it? But yet in conservative ideology today, we say that's evil no matter what. And everybody says it. Well, so God's evil? Come on. What is the standard of righteousness? God's word. What should be the standard of all our beliefs? God's word. Should it be the Republican Party? The Democrat Party? No. Should it be the conservative talk show hosts? Although many of them have a lot of good things to say. I'm not knocking on them. I mean, they do a lot of good. But should their ideology overrule the word of God? No. And that's a problem that many conservative Christians have fallen into. We listen to a lot of talk radio and we watch some political conservatives on TV. And we start to think that we're all part of the same thing. But when they start contradicting God's word, it's dangerous. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that, and that has to do with this counting the number of the beast. Because when you really dig into it, it exposes people who claim to be God's chosen people and who are not. Like Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 declares. And I'm going to talk about a little bit. You know, we had I don't want to go too much. I might go into this a little bit more when we get into the symbol of the beast and stuff like that and the number. But we had a really for all other purposes, we have a really good conservative man in government by the name of Ted Cruz. But he went on to say at some meeting, he went on to say that Christians, and I'll probably try to get you the exact quote or maybe even play you a video clip of this later on, that and this is important because it has to do with falling into the traps of not understanding wisdom from God's word and letting political ideology become our religion. But he said there, he said, if you're a Christian, you better support the nation of Israel, the modern day nation of Israel, whom we've discovered much of that modern day nation of Israel. They're not even, many of them, most of them are not even descendants of Jacob. They're not even Israelites by blood. But then he went on to say that if we did not support Israel, that modern day nation that rejects Christ, still waiting for a different Messiah, he says we're not following the teachings of Jesus. That is dangerous. I mean, I know the guy does a lot of good things, more than many others on many different issues. But that one issue alone could lead many to deception. Because the epistles of John, now Christ himself said, I am the way, I am the door to life. Anybody that tries to come to the Father a different way is a thief and a robber. And that man, well-meaning, was teaching deception, trying to browbeat the Christian into supporting some nation that rejects Christ. And the epistles of John says that anybody, any people, any nation that rejects Christ is antichrist. He says you shouldn't even take them into your home or wish them God's speed. And yet that's what the conservative party, the Republican Party, has made as a central, one of their main pieces of their ideology, one of their main bullet points, is we must support Israel at all costs. And then Ted Cruz went on to say, if we're a Christian, we have to. By the way, he got booed off the stage for saying that. But that is contrary. It's the opposite. What he is saying goes against what Christ taught. I don't normally call out people by name all that much, but this is important. And you'll see as we get through, I don't know how many studies we're going to do on this, on the number of the beast, the mark and the image and so on. You'll see why that's important and how this all ties in. All right. You have to be careful. You do not want to make a religion out of political ideologies. This is where our belief should come from God's word. You know, you hear people that you like, you know, somebody who sides with you for on most moral issues, like I'm talking about conservative talk radio and stuff like that. And sometimes you build this trust that, yeah, we're on the same team, everything. But I must remind you that most of the world's going to be deceived. And some of these conservative talk show hosts get everything right, but then they got this twist to them. And you can still, I'm not saying that we shouldn't listen to them, you can't learn from them, but you got to be able to identify those little twists where they've been deceived and where they are deceiving others. And I'm telling you, not too many people see a lot of these things. All right. keep his commandments and live. We kind of got a little bit in depth on that, but hey, I think God wants us to. I think the Spirit wants that to be known. Verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. That is a very important statement. Going back to that comment that I was talking about, just don't worry about counting the number of the beast. Just teach love, the love of Jesus, and focus on Him. And don't worry about anything else. Well, Jesus is the living Word, and what does He say? Get wisdom. Get understanding. In other words, fill this brain with something useful. From here, first and foremost, not just 24 hours, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, because all three of those guys I just mentioned have done great things for our nation in waking people up to right versus wrong. But at this time, they're leading people with some of those other twists. If those people follow those guys word for word all the time, they may end up being led to the false Messiah, because all three of those individuals are leading people to support an anti-Christian nation as though they are God's chosen people when they are not, but do lie. As Christ said in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. All right, verse 6, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. In other words, what he wants us to do is look at wisdom as though she's your bride. Cherish her, protect her, preserve her. Exalt her. Proverbs 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. This is a plea. Don't be ignorant. Don't just say all we have to do is believe and be saved and get raptured. That's nonsense. You know, this word principle here means first and foremost. In other words, the first and foremost thing that we need to do is to get wisdom, and with all of our energy and resources is to get understanding. And it comes through here, the words on these pages that our spirit. Christ even said that one time, my words are spirit and truth. All right. Exalt her. Well, I kind of said this already, but we're going to read it. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Did you know, we're going to read about it at the end of the study, and I think we read it last time, but we're going to do it again. It's important. From Revelation chapter 15, those who conquer the image of the beast, the number of his name, then his mark, and so on, they are going to be exalted. They're going to be brought to honor because they are going to be the overcomers. And where did it start? They had victory over the number of his name. Where did it start? With her. Who's her? Wisdom. And understanding. In other words, it took the time to try to figure out things like, what the heck is this 666? The number of a man. Where are these clues going to lead us? That's where it starts. And that's what this study is all about. I'm laying the foundation, trying to give you a drive to want to dig in deep with us. because we do plan to go in into as much depth as we can on this topic. Anyways, verse 9, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. This is wisdom and knowledge. This isn't just believe and be saved. This isn't just focus on Jesus and do good things. No, it's deeper than that. This is about having a relationship. By taking the knowledge of God, His words, consuming them, digesting them, and letting them become a part of you. Like Christ said, I and them, and them and me. I can't remember the exact words, but anyways, Christ was saying that we're gonna be as one. Well, we got to take His mind into us through His words. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Forsake those. If you belong to a church that says, don't study about the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Don't talk about Satan. Don't worry about the mark of the beast. Don't try to understand that stuff. Just believe and be saved. You better consider what this verse says. This verse says, forsake the foolish. Because I'm telling you, many of those people with that mindset, that foolish mindset of just, I'm such a lover. I just love everybody. Love. Without knowledge combined with that love, they are either going to be deceived themselves, or worse yet, they will be deceived themselves and deceive others. It's that serious. All right, verse 9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. His appetite will grow. He or she wants to learn more. This is pretty similar to what Christ taught us in Revelation 13, verse 18. When He challenged us to figure out what this number is all about, to decipher the code. He expects us to be a learner. All right, Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. That has a lot of depth in it right there. I'm going to talk about one aspect of it here today that I learned several months ago, maybe a little bit more than that. But, you know, when you look at God's law, it's designed to instill into us the fear of the Lord. We don't want to break the law because there are consequences. God says, if you don't follow my law, you will receive curses and so forth. This will happen to you and that and so on. So what God says there is his law really is the beginning of wisdom. That's the first step. That's the first step. And next step is combining that with the love and compassion and mercy and making a marriage between the two. That's why, you know, some of the first things that a Christian should learn, obviously, is the Ten Commandments. Get a little respect for God. Learn about His standards of righteousness. Because then when you learn about forgiveness and compassion that Christ gave us, it makes a lot more sense. It has meaning to it. Anyways, 1 Corinthians, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, because I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea that I'm pushing it off on people that we should just all become bookworms and and not worry about love and compassion and things like that. In other words, I'm not trying to say that Christianity is purely an intellectual quest. Although it is in part, it's finding the knowledge of God. But it's also using that knowledge. That's actually what the word wisdom means. To apply knowledge appropriately with love in your heart. Anyways, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. And Paul's going to bring this up. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. Remember the mystery of the 666? That's part of what Paul's talking about here. And all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. That's pretty serious. You know, I'm going to keep reading. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing. In other words, I could sit here all day, study, learn about all the mysteries, gain all this knowledge of God. And yet, if I don't have love in my heart for God and for my fellow man, if I'm just in it for myself, in it to improve mine own intellect, then it's going to all that wisdom, all that knowledge. And if I was to spend all my time feeding the poor, but it wasn't really because I loved them, I just wanted to look like I was doing the right thing, it means nothing. We're going to build off that in a second here. Verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Puffed up. You know, I'm going to bring this up. In my early years of studying the Bible, I went to various Bible study groups, and it would seem that some in those Bible study groups made it like a competition. Like, if you knew something, they wanted to make sure you and everybody else in the room knew that they knew something more than you. In other words, they always wanted to be a little smarter. They always wanted to say, I know a little bit more of the deeper mysteries than you. And it was kind of a thing where you'd see, you know, and a lot of these people were new Christians and they're getting into these things, but they're looking at it the wrong way. Am I saying I've never done that myself? I probably have. I'm not trying to play holy, Mr. Holy Guy over here that I've never done that myself. But that's, and I'm bringing this up because when we're studying this number 666, and we're going to get into all these different mysteries, and we find out various conspiracies, various secret groups, New Agers, occultists, and others who use this number and who are a part of deciphering this code, when we figure those things out, we need to know how to use that wisdom properly. And Paul brought it up very well there. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Charity does. And so on. But anyways, I'll talk a little bit more about when we're learning, you know, when you get into learning about some of these secret societies and some of these groups that are conspiring to take over the world and to do all these different things, you know, some people and some of these things definitely are truths. They're part of being able to count the number of the beast, identifying the enemy, seeing what he's doing. But there are some people when they learn these things, they're not applying what charity and love. In other words, I've seen it before on Facebook. They'll say something like, they'll rant and rave on there and they'll call everybody stupid. Oh, you guys are all stupid fools, you idiots, you don't understand. You're just nothing but a bunch of sheeple, they'll even use swear words like you effing this, you effing that. What in the world? Who in the world would listen to that? I tell you what, if I was deceived and I hadn't yet been awakened to the truth, I wouldn't listen to somebody like that with some foul, disgusting mouth popping off, effing this, effing that, you stupid buffoons, you idiots. I'm not saying we can't use the word stupid when we're teaching or making a point, but you know what I'm talking about. You've probably seen people post some of this stuff, and they make a religion out of conspiratorial things. Sometimes they could be right, and sometimes they could be just totally wrong. And they focus solely on that. And they don't know how, they don't have wisdom. Wisdom means you know how, they might have some understanding, they might have some knowledge, but they don't know how to use that knowledge. They're just slamming people over the head with it, trying to show them how much they know and let everybody else know they're a bunch of deceived idiots and they know better. You know what? I've seen people like that before. You know what usually happens to them? They get so stuck into focusing in on conspiracy this, conspiracy that, that all of a sudden Christianity became a conspiracy to them. And they lost their faith. Or they're on some path to God knows where. Hopefully some of them will wake up, but I've seen that happen to people because they focus on the wrong things. So I want to make that clear. When we're talking about how important it is to understand how to count the number of the beast, I want to make sure that we're covering the other aspect of it too. You don't want to make a religion out of just that. But on the other side of the spectrum, you don't want to be somebody that says just love and talk about love. You see, if we don't put everything in its perspective, we can be deceived either way. If all we do is talk about the number 666 and secret societies, then all of a sudden we're going to become a schizophrenic and we're going to start doubting the Bible itself. I've seen that happen, trust me. Or we'll be on the other side. If all we want to do is teach about love, 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 all of a sudden the Antichrist comes. He teaches love. We say, well, I love too. Maybe we're in love, you know. In perspective. It's just like the argument about God's law. Is God's law still applicable today? Or do we just love? We do it all. We do it all. And we learn how to rightly divide the word of God. And rightly apply it. So anyways. All this knowledge we get. When we get it. And we're going to get some. We're going to dig into this. We're not going to go into the details here in this study. In our next study and the ones following after that, I plan to get into some details on how to count this number of the beast. But I thought it was really important to cover this aspect of it first. Because if we don't take this knowledge with the intent of advancing the gospel of the kingdom, but we do it because out of frustration, we want to let everybody know we're mad because this evil conspiracy that's going on with the Antichrist and his people against our people. And all we're going to do is rant and rave about it. Then that wouldn't be advancing the gospel of the kingdom. And I want to make sure we don't do that, myself included. Now, am I saying we should go soft? No, I'm not saying that at all. Wisdom is the key. All right. I will say this, that learning how to properly use some of the knowledge we learn can be difficult. And it is a constant skill we're trying to develop as Christians. I don't have it down perfectly. I know you don't have it down. Nobody has it down perfectly. We get better and better as we move on. And we always try to remember the one key thing as we're developing that skill is, hey, am I doing this out of love? Is this going to help the person? Or am I just trying to beat them over the head with a truth? So, and that's what we need to learn how to do. But anyways, we're going to go to some scriptures that warn us how important it is to understand the mark of the beast, the image of the beast, what these things are, the number of the beast, and so on. Here they are. First place, Revelation 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. That is very serious. You don't want to take the mark of the beast. You don't want to have his number. You don't want to worship his image because the punishment is severe. Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, no Sabbath even, if you would, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. There it is there, his name again. Isn't that what the number is? The number of his name? Revelation 16, verse 1. Let's go over here now. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. So I would say it's pretty important to understand these things. And I think you probably agree. Going back to that comment again. Don't worry about the mark of the beast, his number. Don't worry about figuring that out. Just focus on the love of Jesus. Well, again, part of the love of Jesus is understanding the things that he tells us to understand. Verse 4, and I saw thrones and they that sat, Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They were exalted. Remember that verse we read in Proverbs? Exalt wisdom and she will exalt you. All right. Revelation 15, verse 2. And I saw, in closing here, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. This is all part of being an overcomer. That's why these verses are so important to me. Because it's the name of our ministry. And we named, partly a big reason why we named it our ministry, Christian Overcomers, is because of this verse. This is our mission focus. This is our enemy. And these are different aspects of the enemy we need to understand so that we can conquer him. All right. So with that said, I hope you're not disappointed that we didn't actually get into the meaning of 666 yet. But in our next study, we are going to begin digging really deep into this. Like I said in the beginning, hey, if it's a challenge from God, I want to take it. I want to know everything about this number, inside and out. Because I want my father to be happy with me for taking this challenge on and trying to figure it out. You know, we're going to discover that 666 has a lot to do with the serpent and his seed. We're also going to find out that the number 666 was the same as SSS, which is supposed to have been the secret symbol of ISIS, as well as many other old ancient mystery religions. Now, ISIS is kind of interesting. Maybe there's a connection to it. We'll maybe explore that, to the terrorist group we're talking about that we hear so much about today. ISIS, the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq, I think is what it is. But there were also three people in the Bible associated with the number 666. Even four, I think, if we count Solomon. 666 has a numerical meaning to it even. And we'll get into that. Hey, we've got a lot of things to get into. And I'm so excited to get into those things and to try to understand our Father's Word. You know, I just... I don't know how far we're going to go with this, how many studies we're going to do on this, or how much the Father will reveal to us. But again, my goal is to try to not leave too many stones unturned and to try to learn as much as He will give us. So I just ask that you pray with us over the next couple, 2-3 weeks or so, that you ask the Father that He reveal to us some of the deeper truths of the meaning of the number 666 and why it's important for us to understand. And that way, hey, we can share it with you and hopefully many more. Anyways, do like what Christ said in Matthew chapter 4 when He was tempted of the devil. He said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So see that you study it, consume it, digest it, meditate upon it every single day so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.